Going around through the daytime singing. Yeah. That's what they're there for, though, right?
Yes.
Yeah. Yeah. Gives you courage to get up in the morning and head off to battle and sing your way to work.
Amen.
Amen. Let's go ahead and open our Bibles. 1 Kings. A little bit lengthy reading tonight, but I don't want to cut the Word of God short in the a good foundation for what we want to talk about tonight. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 29. And we will read to verse 38 and we'll go to the next chapter. 1 Kings chapter 11, verse 29. And it came to pass that at that time that Jeroboam went out to Jerusalem, that the prophet Ahijah the Shilonite found him in the way, and he had clad himself with a new garment, and they too were alone in the field. And Ahijah caught the new garment that was on him and rent it in 12 pieces. And he said to Jeroboam, take thee 10, for thus saith the Lord God of Israel, behold, I will rend the kingdom out of the hand of Solomon, and will give 10 tribes to thee. But he shall have one tribe for my servant David's sake, and for Jerusalem's sake, the city which I have chosen out of all the tribes of Israel, because that they have forsaken me and have worshipped Ashtaroth, the goddess of the Zidonians, Chemosh, the god of the Moabites, and Milcom, the god of the Ammon, of children of Ammon, and have not walked in my ways to do that which is right in mine eyes, and to keep my statutes and my judgments, as did David his father. Howbeit, I will not take the whole kingdom out of his hand, but I will make him a prince all the days of his life for David, my servant's sake, whom I chose because he kept my commandments and my statutes. But I will take the kingdom out of his son's hand, and I will give it unto thee, even 10 tribes. And unto his son I will give one tribe, that David, my servant, may have light always before me in Jerusalem, the city which I have chosen me to put my name there. And I will take thee, and thou shalt reign according to all that thy soul desireth, and shall be king over Israel. And it shall be, if thou wilt hearken unto all that I command thee, and will walk in my ways, and do that which is right in my sight, to keep my statutes and my commandments, as David my servant did, that I will be with thee, and build thee a sure house, as I built David, and I will give Israel unto thee. Let's go to the next chapter, chapter 12, verse 25 through 33. Then Jeroboam built Shechem in Mount Ephraim and dwelt therein, and went out from thence to Penuel. And Jeroboam said in his heart, now shall the kingdom return to the house of David. If this people go to do sacrifice in the house of the Lord, at Jerusalem. Then shall the heart of this people turn again unto their Lord, even to Rehoboam, king of Judah, and they shall kill me and go again to Rehoboam, king of Judah. Whereupon the king took counsel and made two calves of gold and said unto them, It is too much for you to go up to Jerusalem. Behold thy gods, O Israel, which brought thee up out of the land of Egypt. And he sent the one in Bethel, and the other he put in Dan. And this thing became a sin for the sin, for the people went to worship before the one, even unto Dan. And he made a house of high places, and a high priest of the lowest of the people, which were not of the sons of Levi. And Jeroboam ordained a feast in the eighth month, on the 15th day of the month, like unto the feast that is in Judah, and he offered upon the altar. So did he in Bethel, according to sacrificing unto the calves that he had made, and he placed in Bethel the priest of the high places which he had made. So he offered upon the altar which he had made in Bethel the 15th day of the eighth month, even the month which he had devised in his own heart, and ordained a feast unto the children of Israel, and he offered upon the altar and burnt incense. And then I'm going to go to the next chapter, verse 33 and 34. After this thing, Jeroboam returned not from his evil ways, but made again of the lowest of the people priests of the high places, whosoever would, he consecrated him. He became one of the priests of the high places. And this thing became a sin unto the house of Jeroboam, even to cut it off and to destroy it from off the face of the earth. Let's just pray for a moment, Lord Jesus. As we have read these words tonight, we're asking, Lord, that you would break the bread of life to your people. Lord, that you would just bring it and serve it in such a way that it would touch every heart, each one. Lord, would just go away feeling like they have received a blessing from you tonight, and they would have a clarity of understanding of their day. Lord, we realize it won't do any good if it doesn't come down to our day and show us what it means to us. So we're asking, Lord, that you break the bread of life to your children tonight. That's in Jesus' name. Amen. I'm titled this tonight, Going Back to Jerusalem to Worship. Amen. Going back to Jerusalem to worship. Amen. How many know God's got a certain nature about him?
Yes.
He does. He has a certain nature about him. What's what makes him God, attributes and characteristics and different things that makes him God. And I say quite often, let's don't bring God down and limit him to our limitations. Let's let him be God.
Yeah.
And so, you know, he's a God of mercy and forgiveness and all the different things. So he has a certain nature. And we should have come here to this earth as children of God. We should have come here with the same nature. But because of the fall, we come here with a different nature. Because we have that different nature, it causes us to desire things that are wrong, choose things in life that are wrong. And that is until you have a new birth.
Yeah.
Amen. Once you have a new birth, then it brings you back in line with God's nature. And so, just to kind of set a foundation here, we know back in the history of Israel that God wanted to be Israel's king,
yeah.
Right? He was leading them and guiding them, and they got to the place where they came to Samuel, and they said to Samuel, you know, we want a king.
Yeah.
And of course, Samuel tried to say, hey, you know what? God is your king, and paraphrasing, and they said, no, but we want one anyway. And the thing is just like, it's baffling, because the Lord had already told Israel that they were not to be like the other nations. They weren't. He had called them and separated them from. And so here they are, they're wanting to be like the other nations.
Yeah. Right.
You know, when God calls you, you really ought to, you know, just listen to what he's saying and realize that he's called you to be a peculiar people.
Yeah.
Not that you want to be different, but he just called you and you are going to be peculiar. And so really, we should look at it and realize it's an honor. Yeah. It's an honor to be able to walk with God and walk according to his statutes and his truth and his word. And so here Israel is, they want to be like the other nations. And so they wanted a king. They wanted someone that they could go out to battle and the king could go with them. And they wanted someone they could look at. Because you realize that they'd have to, by faith, every day, believe that God was with them. They wanted to look on somebody. And they wanted to be able to say to the rest of the world, well, look at our king. Look at the glory of our kingdom and all of our armies and all the things that go with that. They wanted to be able to show those things. And you know, people are the same way today. People are the same way today. Well, it's like in ministry or so forth, you know, the church is like, well, look at our pastor. Look how well he dresses. And look at how many degrees he has and how smart he is and right. And all of our program. They want to look at that stuff. That's what's important to them.
Right.
But, you know, with God, those things shouldn't be what we look at. And so Israel was guilty of doing this here. They were looking and saying, we want a king. And so when they picked out a king, they picked out one who was head and shoulders above all the rest, right? Saul was a great, big, tall guy. The scripture said he was above everybody else, his shoulders and head, right? And that's the kind of, we want somebody that's great looking, you know, instead of believing in being in humility and believing in God for deliverance, they wanted something like that. And so nature of man hasn't changed much. But, and so that's who they chose. And of course, he said, look, he told Samuel, he said, they're not rejecting you, they're rejecting me. So go ahead and give them a king, but nevertheless, solemnly protest. You know, the Lord does that when people want something in their life and he's telling them no, and he will make sure that he solemnly protests that person so that they know they've been told, and then they go out anyway after it, and so they've been told. But anyway, Israel wanted after something like Saul, but the scripture tells us that when, you know, Saul had messed up, that God was going to choose one, a man who was after his heart. And we know that he chose David. And even all of Jesse's sons and Jesse himself, you know, whenever he come along and Samuel comes there to anoint one of Jesse's sons, and here they bring all the, you know, all the big, the ones that are big and handsome or whatever, and bring them all there, and you know, Samuel thought, hey, surely this is the one. And the Lord said, no. God doesn't look like at things like man does.
Right,
God
right.
looks on the heart, you know. And all of them passes by. And, of course, Samuel knew that God had said, hey, go anoint one of Jesse's sons. And so when, you know, he said, was this all of them? You know, and Samuel knew there was another one because God had told him.
Right.
So is there another one? Well, yeah, there's one. But he ain't nothing. He's back here feeding the sheep, little ruddy guy. He's not much to look at. He's just probably a little bitty short fellow, whatever. We kind of think that that's probably was the situation there. But he wasn't much to look at, and even Jesse didn't think that he was, surely God wouldn't choose him, right? But he was God's choice. In contrast to what the people had picked, Saul, here God has picked David. And so, but the scripture said he picked one, a man who was after God's own heart. And I've thought about that many times, you know, that a man after God's own heart. And so, you know, I've asked that question, well, what does that mean with a man that's after God's own heart? And it wasn't that David was a perfect man and David never made any mistakes and all. David made all kinds of mistakes,
right?
He made all kinds of mistakes. But here's the thing. David would humble himself, and when he made a mistake, he'd repent.
That's right.
And he'd make it right. He'd do what he can. But also, David was a man of forgiveness. He would forgive those that did things against him.
Yes.
He was a man that would show mercy. And even when all of his people around him, his military advisors are like, well, you know, didn't think that David should do that, they probably talked about David behind his back. You know, this guy, he won't deal with anything. Right? He's just, you understand what I'm saying. And so, but I look at that and I say, you know, that must have been something that you know, caught God's attention. And so we see that forgiveness and mercy and those things are attributes of God. And so I like to think of it that David was a man after God's own heart because David had characteristics in him, and he would express himself the way God would express himself and in the ways that God wanted us to express ourselves. And so David lived in such a way, now, not the mistakes, because he made some terrible mistakes. We know that. Right, but he repented.
Yes.
We should look at this and take notice of this. And if God could do that for David under the blood of bulls and goats, what can he do with us under the blood of Jesus Christ?
Amen.
So just think, it's your mistakes. If you've got a heart to repent, then it's a done thing, right? So David would repent, and so David had all kinds of mistakes, but there was something about David that God could look back. That the scripture said was that David was a man after God's own heart. And you find out that that David lived in such a way with these attributes of mercy and forgiveness. He lived in such a way, and he served God, and he followed after his statutes and his commandments. And basically, David lived such a life that could become a standard.
Yeah.
Could become a standard that God could refer back to over and over and over. Because as you go through the history of the kings, he'd always say, well, he didn't serve God like David did.
Yeah.
You know, he did that which is right in the eyes of the Lord, but not like David. I mean, we're reading that over and over and over. And so you see, the life of David became a standard that God could go and refer back to. If people could just be like David.
Yeah.
And so you find out that David, living that way, he lived and he became a standard, something that God could measure others by and compare and say, look, this is, because here's what it should be.
Yeah.
And so David lived in such a way that David gave God something that God could endorse and something that God could anoint and could speak of. And so, and because of this, you may have heard, and I think I've talked about it, when the scriptures and the sure mercies of David. And so, because David lived in such a way that he did, that God promised David there'd always be somebody of your lineage sitting on the throne.
Yeah.
And so, we'll read that in 2 Samuel chapter 7. Let's just read it real quick. It's, you know, kind of a slash Wednesday night service Bible study here. So he's telling Nathan, God's telling Nathan to go speak to David. And therefore, so shall thou say unto my servant David, thus saith the Lord, I took thee from the sheepcote and from following the sheep, and to be ruler over my people, over Israel. And I was with thee wheresoever thou wentest, and I have cut off all thy enemies out of thy sight, and have made thee a great name, like unto the name of great men that are in the earth. Moreover, I will appoint a place for my people Israel, and I will plant them, that they may dwell in a place of their own, and move no more, neither shall thou the children of wickedness afflict them any more as before time. And as since that time that I commanded judges to be over my people Israel, and have caused thee to rest from all thine enemies, also the Lord telleth thee that he will make thee an house. Speaking to David, and when thy days be fulfilled, and thou shalt sleep with thy fathers, I will set up thy seed after thee, which shall proceed out of thy bowels, and I will establish his kingdom. And he shall build a house for my name, and I will establish the throne of his kingdom forever. Amen. I will be his father, and he shall be my son, and if he commit iniquity, I will chasten him with the rod of men, and with the stripes of the children of men. But my mercy shall not depart from him. Isn't that powerful?
Amen.
My mercy shall not depart from him, as I took it from Saul, whom I put away before thee. And thy house and thy kingdom shall be established forever before thee. Thy throne shall be established forever. David lived in such a way that God could confer upon him that kind of future.
Yeah.
Right? And that became a standard. So all the kings that would come, God would point back and refer to them and compare them as to how they served God in relation to how David did. Because, you know, obviously God would want all of us to serve like that. Not that David, because David made mistakes, right? He done said that. We make mistakes. But if you can stay with God and stay with his word, stay with his word is, and always walk humble and repent and forgive, these are the things Jesus taught us, then we can be established, right? You understand that? And so that's what would happen there, would be that way. And so this became a legacy. David had a legacy there that he left behind that God could point to. But you know, there was another man in the Bible that we're going to talk about tonight that left a legacy also. One that God could point back to also. And his name was Jeroboam. And so we read in the scriptures there. So you know, we talk here recently about how that Solomon had many strange wives, and so because of that, the kingdom was taken from him. God left him with one tribe, and gave all these other tribes to Jeroboam, which was a servant of his of Solomon. So gave those 10 tribes, and we read that tonight. And in that, the prophet told him, Jeroboam says, if you'll obey, and keep my commandments, my statutes, then I will establish your house too. We just read it. I will establish you,
yeah,
right, and your house, if you'll just stay with my word,
right?
And so he told him, he said, just stay with me, and if you'll do that, then you'll be able to reign according to the dictates of your heart. We read that. Just stay with me, keep my statutes, and you'll be established, and your house will be established too, just like the house of David. So what he said, we read it, right? And so, but Jeroboam didn't do that. Jeroboam did not stay with God and keep his commandments. We read there in the scriptures, instead of doing that, he turned to idolatry. And he, in the scriptures, you know, we read there, he set up what was a stumbling stone, a stumbling block for Israel. He made these two calves of gold and set them up, one in Dan and one in Bethel, and set them there and caused Israel to sin because they began to come and begin to worship those things. And the reason he did that is he didn't even believe God's word, because God had said, if you'll just stay with me, I'll establish you. But, you know, he said, you know what? All these people, they're supposed to go up to Jerusalem to worship. They're going to go up there every year. They're going to sacrifice. And while these people are going up there, their hearts are going to turn back to Jerusalem and back to Rehoboam, the king there. And can't remember, King Rehoboam was of David's lineage, so that was the royal seed line. That was the real king to set on there at Jerusalem. And so he said, you know, those people, they're, as they go back up and worship, their heart is going to turn back, and they're going to come kill me, and I'm going to lose my kingship. I'm no longer going to be king. Now, what did God tell him? God told him, if you'll just walk with me and keep my statutes, you'll be king. I'll give you those 10 tribes. He'll have more than just the one or two tribes over there. He'll have that. He said, I'll bless you. But he must not have believed that. Because he was saying in his mind, he was leaning to his own understanding.
Right?
He was leaning to his own understanding, thinking, oh, you know, if they do that, at some point, I won't be king anymore. They'll come and destroy me. We read it. Right? So he did this thing. The scripture said he took counsel. He went and talked to somebody. Right? He talked to somebody. What can I do? Right? To keep these people from going back to Jerusalem and worshiping and turning back to the king there that sits on the throne in Jerusalem. And he took counsel and they brought these calves. And what's the thing about these calves is that are playing all through the scriptures,
yeah,
right? Back there in Egypt and coming all the way up, you know, Baal. And so you see these things, they just keep coming. And so they made them there, which is baffling to me that those people would do that. But somehow or another, it was enough of a pull that those people began to worship there and begin to go through these things. And that became a sin to them, became a stumbling block to him. And so he did all that just simply because he was jealous and he was afraid he was going to lose out on his own kingdom. So he devised wickedness just to control people and keep them underneath his reign. And so when he did this, he made his own religion. He read there where he took and you know, in God's word, it's like, you know, hey, it's the Levites. They're the priests, right? They're the Aaron's family. They're the men that are to be the priests, the intercessors, and to do all the things. And so in God's economy, hey, it was God called men.
Yeah.
He comes along and the scripture said he just, anybody he wanted, anybody was willing to do it, he'd make them priests. See what I'm saying? He wasn't staying with the word of God, and so he goes off into idolatry and makes everybody, all kinds of people, just anybody, a priest. And the scripture said he came up with his own feast, his own day of worship there, like they had in Judah. He just set up a feast day and just made his own religion to mimic, right? And so he was totally opposite. In other words, he just totally walked away from the Word of God and did those, made his own feast days and everything. And so, and perhaps he would say, why does it have to be Levites? Well, I mean, they don't matter. Just as long as somebody is serious about it, as long as they're serious about whatever it is, that, you know, well, why does it have to be Levites? Well, it had to be Levites because God said so.
Amen.
Right? Might say, why does it have to be on those feast days, those days where they have these feasts and so forth? Why can't I? Why, as long as we set aside a time and we're serious about it, why, won't that work? That's what people do today.
That's right.
That's what people do today. They're like, well, He doesn't really require us to let our hair grow for the sisters. He doesn't, you know, I mean, he knows our heart. Right? It's the same thing. It's the same thing. That's exactly what you see here. The types and shadows. Just show us so that we can realize today that when Satan comes to you and people have all these ways to try and trick you, that's what it's all about. It's always saying, well, you don't really have to, and it really doesn't matter. It does matter because God said so. And listen, you know what? All of those things are there for purposes. They're all types and shadows. And if you come along and say, well, it doesn't really have to be like that, you've broke a type or a shadow or an anti-type. God has an image of things. You know, it's like a man and a woman. If a man and woman is, if they're not in, you know, he's not a good leader and she's not in subjection, that's an image of Christ in his church. Right. And if that's not right, it's blasphemous toward the true image of Christ in his church. Right? See what I'm saying? And so if you come off, and we'll just create an image and we'll call it Christ and his bride, but it's not, it don't even look like what we know it should.
Right.
See? So when you come along and you say, well, it doesn't really have to be that way, you might be breaking a type or a shadow or an anti-type just totally because God has a reason for all those things. And also, you get away from the way God does it, you're losing your protection.
That's right.
As we talked several weeks ago.
That's right.
Amen. And so, we know that that's the way it happens. And so, he makes his own religion, and he starts doing these things, and he probably, you know, maybe said these things in his own heart. And so, but he did all of this just to keep the people to himself. Right? And so, he did that to keep the people to himself and to so he could still have a kingdom. And so he made, and I heard Brother Biscoe preach this years ago, and so I'll use the same terms he did because it's so fitting. When he came there and he said to the children of Israel, it's too hard for you to go all the way up to Jerusalem. See that? They had to go up there. You know, that's quite a travel.
That's right.
They didn't have motor cars and all that. And so, you know, it wasn't easy. He capitalized on the fact that God doesn't make it easy.
Yeah.
Right? That Jerusalem was the city where God chose to place his name. That was the city of peace. We know that was a type of the bride and a new heavenly Jerusalem to come and all that. And so all those things had a purpose. And God had said, there you go up there, and that's where you worship. And so he took and capitalized on it and said, you know, it's just too much for you to have to do that. Just why don't you just stay down here at Dan or Bethel and let's just worship here. And as like I said, Brother Biscoe used the words, he said it was a religion of compromise. It was a religion of convenience, compromise, and control.
That's right.
Right? And so what he did, he made a religion that was convenient for them.
That's right.
It was convenient, and by doing that, it was a compromise, And the whole end product was that he controlled them. Right? He kept them. And so when Satan comes to you, you know, you realize that he's going to come to you and say, here, go this route. It's easier. You don't have to do that. Do this. God don't really require that. Making it easy. But you know that when he does that to make it easy, he's getting you to compromise.
That's right.
And you know that when he's doing that from this story right here, you know that when that happens, he's controlling you.
That's right.
He's getting you underneath his thumb to control you. A religion of convenience, compromise, and control. This guy was some character. All because he wanted to keep them to himself. And you know what? Here's what I want to leave you with and try to get down here pretty quickly. He was probably right. If those people went back up to Jerusalem, their heart probably would go back to the Jerusalem and back to the king that was there. Now, I mean that's my thought on the matter, and I'll explain why. Because that being a type of what it is, he was keeping them from coming back to worship the way God wanted. Right. God had placed his name in Jerusalem. And we know Brother Bram comes along and he preaches that God's only providing place of worship, right? And he goes through and he shows that I'll meet you in the place where I place my name, right? Well, back then he placed his name there at Jerusalem. That's where you had to go,
yep.
Right? That was a type of Jesus Christ. Jesus Christ is the Word. And so he said, this is my beloved son. This is where I place my name. Now you've got to go there. Right? And so in type here, what's happening here was Jeroboam was causing people to not come to the Word.
That's right.
By compromising, and that's what happens. When you compromise and don't come God's provided way, it's stopping you from coming to the presence of the Word, to the very place where God's presence is, his name. Right? And so that's what was happening there. And in our day, that's what happens when there's compromise. It's keeping people from coming to this very Word that will deliver them.
Right?
Right? Cannot separate Jesus Christ from the Word. He is the Word. The person and is the Word. Amen. And so he was keeping them from coming up to true worship. Coming right back to Jerusalem, right back to the place where, and if they would have, like I said, if they would have come back, their heart would have, because if you can get people into the presence of the Lord, I don't mean presence of what people call revivals and stuff out here. I'm talking about in the presence, the present day presence of the Word. If you can get people there, it will change them. Their heart will go back to Jesus Christ, the Word. Yeah. And there's a lot of people claiming Israel. They all claim to be God's people, but look what they were doing.
Yeah.
Right? And out of all of that, there was an elect. There was a royal seed line. There was a true worship. There was a true place where God had placed his name. There was not to get into it tonight, but that city where that king really was, that city of peace, that's a type of the bride of the Lord Jesus Christ. Right? He lives in his people. We are the city of peace. Amen. We are the city where the presence of the Word is. And if you can just get people to come to that. And so all these Jeroboams out here that want to control people, and they don't want to let people come to this end time message, so they do all these things against it, they're stopping people from coming to the Word.
That's right.
Right? That's what they're stopping. They are doing just like Jeroboam, right? And so we can see that. So what about, you know, we see there in the scriptures that because Jeroboam, God, through all those kings, God referred back to him. That he did that was evil, and just like Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, and king after king kept saying. And so you see, just like on the righteous side that God could compare back to David, whether they live right, and then on that side, he would compare back to Jeroboam over and over, because Jeroboam set up a standard too of idolatry, you know. And so God would compare, hey, all these that followed, how did they compare to Jeroboam? You see, laying there in the scriptures. And all that was a time to show you, in our day right now, there's a true worship, and then there's all these Jeroboams out here that's got most of the kingdom, most of the people of the world, and all they're up to is worshiping things that is wrong and keeping God's people from coming to the true word worship. Amen. And so, I said the other day, you know, the seventh seal all through the scriptures. Here again, here at the end time where God has revealed these things, and you can see right there in the scriptures, back there you go. The whole thing, seventh seal being revealed back there. Amen. And so, I may want to go back to Jerusalem. I want to go back to Jerusalem to worship. Amen. If I'm going to let some of these false teachings and things hold me back and convince me that I just need to compromise, and well, I'll just serve God right here, it'll be just fine. No, we want to do exactly what God said for us to do. Amen. So, just wanted to try and keep it short tonight, being a Wednesday night, but just wanted to share those thoughts with you. Jeroboam, the son of Nebat, such an imposter, I think Brother Branham called him. It was an imposter. And he was given opportunity to be established just like David.
That's right.
Right? Maybe perhaps Jeroboam knew he wasn't going to try and serve God, so he just knew he was going to have to resort to something else. Like I said the other day, they've come away from the Word, so they have to generate and come up with some sort of program, some sort of something to draw people and hold people, because they've left the Word. Right?
Right.
Amen. We don't want to do that. Let's bow our hearts to Him. Lord Jesus, thank you for these few moments here together to speak of your word and to see back even in the Old Testament these things were laid there to let us know. And as you have said in your scriptures, Lord, that these things are written for our example so that we don't make the same mistakes that they did back then. Lord, may we be able to see that there was a royal seed line back there, that there were ages, seven ages back there, just like we have now. And Lord, that you've really got a people now, Lord, that are yours. Oh, it's a people that make mistakes. But God, a people who will repent, a God, a people who show mercy and forgiveness, Lord, that a people that we believe is a people that's after your own heart, just like David was. We just find our peace, Lord, in coming back to you. And so we ask, Lord, that you bless each one with the courage to stand up when the enemy comes their way and tries to make them compromise. Lord, they too will be able to go back to Jerusalem and not compromise this word, but get back to your word. We ask in Jesus' name. Amen. Right. We love the Lord.
Amen.
I don't know.
Thank you.